And everybody said, praise the Lord. I, along with all of you, am extremely disappointed that the general superintendent cannot be here. I was certainly looking forward to his ministry, being blessed by the word of the Lord. And I am relying on the assistance of the Holy Ghost, as we always do. What's new about that? And so what's the difference? We're always trusting in Him, relying on Him, and so I am tonight. I give honor to all the leadership that is in this room tonight, on the platform and in front of me. We need to thank God for leadership. Our world is in need of apostolic leadership. And I thank God for what He's doing in the church in this hour. He is profiling this church. He's putting us on parade. And He said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. And He's doing it right now. And I give Him praise for that. Would you clap your hands and thank God for the leadership in your life? Our district officials, our pastors, our department heads are in this room tonight. We thank God for every one of them. And I appreciate so much the singing that we've heard in this meeting. And I appreciate so much the men setting the stage for what I feel to do tonight in the Word of the Lord. Open your Bibles, please, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter number 2. And I give honor to the men's conference committee, the confidence directed toward me and inviting me to share in this tremendous meeting. And I have been blessed. I give honor to Brother Libby. What a tremendous word from the Lord we receive from him in every session. Would everybody say, thank you, Jesus, for Brother Libby. What a mighty man of God. What a wonderful, wonderful Christian he is. I thank God for him. I appreciate apostolic continuance. There have been many men who have preceded this moment that are no longer privileged to stand on our platforms and preach this gospel. But I thank God for men like Brother Libby who are just continuing on being used of the Holy Ghost in a consistency. And I thank God for that. The book of Acts, chapter 2. And we begin reading tonight with verse number 12. My deepest appreciation, Brother Lindy Blaylock, for his kind observance tonight. And I promise you, everything he said, he does, and more. The man is a workaholic. He wears me out. It's not me wearing him out. He wears me out with all these ideas. And can we do this? And yeah, you can do it, and you'll do good. And I appreciate that type of men in our church. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 12 is where we'll begin tonight. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? I would like to say to you tonight that Pentecost must never lose its what meaneth this. Yes, we're in a time of profile. Yes, we're in a time when all kind of people are coming to our church. But if they understand everything that's going on in our church and there's no questions in their minds, we're no longer apostolic Pentecostal. There's got to be something going on that logic can't explain, that reason cannot comprehend. The supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. Clap your hands to the Lord. Verse 13. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, He did not say they were not drunk. He merely said, it's not like you think. Sin it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. With your permission and time in mind tonight, I would like to interrupt the flow of the continuity of the scripture and stop my reading at that point. You're supposed to read on until you come to a period. But if you allow me, I'll stop right there for the sake of time. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I'm happy to tell you tonight that in reality, it is not a matter of this and that. Nor is it a matter of this or that. It's a matter that this is that. Aren't you glad your this has got a scriptural that? The book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, and verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding. Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Anybody here ever wonder what the will of the Lord is? It's one of the questions that people ask pastors all the time. What is the will of the Lord? I'm going to unravel that deep, dark theological mystery for you tonight. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. With your permission tonight, I will enter this message from the back door. And by that I mean I will not give you my title, which we wait on in Pentecost. I will not give you the title until I have introduced the message and got into it tonight. God bless you. You may be seated. Would you clap your hands to the Lord and give Him some praise right now? I enter this message tonight with a threefold purpose. And what I'm preaching will be targeted in three areas. Three things I want to accomplish by the word of the Lord tonight. If you were here and heard the message this morning, I want to tonight take Goliath's sword and cut off his head with it. What he meant for devastation and destruction, I want to take that very thing and say, you know what? It would have been better if you hadn't have done that. And I'm going to take his sword and by the Spirit believe God to deliver us tonight. The second purpose is to place a finger on the root and the source of our fears, failures, and frustrations as new millennium apostolic men. And then the third thing I want to do is answer the deep, complex quest for every child of God. And that is, what is the will of God? What is the will of God? I will use for my title tonight the words that came from an old man of God who had more spiritual illumination than he had secular education. His spiritual illumination exceeded his secular education because he made a profound statement in his simplistic expression. He was trying to quote Simon Peter's words on the day of Pentecost when Peter said, these men are not drunken as ye suppose. But in his lack of education and proper verbiage, it came out like this. We ain't drunk as we post to be. And that is my subject tonight. We ain't drunk as we post to be. Turn around to your neighbor and say, you ain't drunk like you're supposed to be.
Now it's Friday night. No more church tomorrow here. So I think we ought to go out with a hallelujah hoedown in the Sheraton at Men's Conference 2004, praising God for Holy Ghost victory. Notice with me tonight that Peter did not refute or deny that they were drunk. And to be drunk means overwhelmed, intoxicated, which means to inebriate. It means to stimulate, or secular terms of vernacular language connected with this subject would be loaded, soused, or under the influence. I want to preach to the apostolic men tonight that we ain't drunk as we supposed to be. And it's time to go back to Joel's place on the final night of Men's Conference 2004 and open Joel's bar and declare this happy hour at Men's Conference 2004. I'm preaching to you that the great, you may be seated, the greatest thing that could happen on this last night of Men's Conference is for every man in this room to get drunk on the Holy Ghost, to become soused, loaded, under the influence, inebriated, controlled by the power of the Holy Ghost. I say that's the greatest thing that can happen to your family, is for you to come home drunk. The greatest thing that could happen to your church is for you to come home drunk. The greatest thing that could happen to your pastor is for you to come home drunk on the Holy Ghost, under the influence, controlled by the power of God. Clap your hands and shout yes. So the way you get drunk is keep on drinking. So I'm going to say it a whole lot tonight before we leave here, but turn around to your neighbor and say, take another drink. Take another drink. Take another drink. I want to tell you what the will of God is. It is that you not be filled with wine wherein is excess, but that you be filled with the Spirit. Clap your hands and shout hallelujah. Turn around to your neighbor and say, take another drink. Take another drink. Take another drink. On the day of Pentecost, they were intoxicated. On the day of Pentecost, they were overwhelmed. On the day of Pentecost, too many of us have learned how to handle the Holy Ghost. And we need to get back to being controlled by the Holy Ghost. You may be seated. I saw a recent bumper sticker that said, you know, you gotta watch those bumper stickers, they can be dangerous. But when you're sitting there just waiting on the light to change, you have a tendency to see what's there. And so I read this bumper sticker, and this is what it said. How to avoid a hangover. All right. Come on, let's have a little confession tonight. How many men here ever had a hangover on alcoholism? Let me set the record straight. I've never tasted the trash in my life. And after today, you understand why. I despise it. But Paul likened the baptism of the Holy Ghost to being filled with the Spirit, and that means that we are to be controlled by it. And at Pentecost, Peter said they're not drunk like you suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, the bumper sticker said, how to avoid a hangover. And this was the answer. Stay drunk. That's what the bumper sticker said. How to avoid a hangover. Stay drunk. Now, I told you I was raised in this, so I know a little bit about it. when they have a hangover, they go from the ecstasy to the agony. They go from thrill to chill. They go from high to low. They go from a surge to sick. And I know we got a lot of apostolics on a Holy Ghost hangover because they're sick of church. They're sick of praying. They're sick of worshiping. They're sick of paying their tithes. They're sick of living holy. They're sick of another special service. You may be seated. And I'll tell you something else about folks on hangovers. They get irritable. And they get nervous. And they get grouchy. And they get grumpy. The problem in the church today is we ain't drunk as we supposed to be. If shouting makes you nervous, you need another drink. If dancing makes you nervous, you need another drink. If it's too loud for you, you need another drink. I say it's time for we men to get what could happen. You may be seated. What could happen? I say what could happen if there would be a representation from Manio to Murphy. That when you leave the men's conference, you walk into your house and you say, honey, it ain't like you think. You should have been at men's conference. There was an outpouring. You walk in the church on Sunday morning. Your pastor comes to the pulpit Sunday morning and he's moving around under the Spirit. We ain't drunk as we supposed to be. So turn around to your neighbor and say, take another drink. I'm wondering what could happen in North Carolina if every man here would get full of the Holy Ghost. Before we leave this place, turn around to your neighbor and say, your problem is you've learned how to handle your drinks. How long has it been since you talked in tongues? How long has it been instead of you having the Holy Ghost had you? How long has it been since you got out of your little old two-step and the Spirit shook you like a wind, a leaf in the wind under the power of the Spirit? You don't need another seminar. You need another drink. Touch your neighbor and say, take another drink. The problem is we got too many social sippers. We got too many society drinkers. They'll get just enough to make them happy, but not enough to make them holy. They'll get just enough to proclaim Him Savior, but they won't proclaim Him Lord. They'll get just enough to be saved, but not enough to be a serious threat to the devil. You are never a threat to the devil until you're drunk on the Holy Ghost. But when you are high on the Holy Ghost, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Touch your neighbor and say, take another drink. Take another drink. I said, we're too starchy around here tonight. Don't come into Joel's bar and say you're not the drinking kind. You may be seated. Clap your hands to the Lord right now. Touch your neighbor beside you and say, I hope you get drunk before the lights go out tonight. Do that for me. I can't get on that thing, Brother Lindy. It might throw me. But I want to tell you something, men. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. We need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost in this house. Come on, preachers. We preachers need to go home under the power and the influence of the Holy Ghost. We ain't drunk as we're supposed to be. Take another drink. My goal tonight is that everybody here that doesn't have the Holy Ghost would receive it. And everybody that claims it and ain't got it would get it. I officially call an end to the men's conference. Because the theme was men at work. But now it's party time. The work is over. It's time to go to Joel's Bar and get high on the Holy Ghost. You don't need to leave your wife. You just need another drink. You don't need to backslide. You just need another drink. You don't need a psychiatrist. You just need another drink. We're not drunk as we're supposed to be. Touch your neighbors, say, take another drink. Now, if you think I'm going to leave you alone tonight, you're wrong. It's the will of God that everybody in here talk in tongues before we leave. You don't need to go home sober. You may be seated. Touch your neighbor and say, take another drink. You can't get drunk. I said you can't get drunk if you don't keep on drinking. The problem is we want to run in and get a little thimble full. Get enough to make it to Wednesday night. Get enough Wednesday night to make it to Sunday night. But the only way we're going to reach our world is to have a New Testament church that's high on the Holy Ghost. Touch your neighbor and say, take another drink. You may be seated. I'm expecting somebody here to get obnoxious before we leave here. I'm expecting somebody to come rolling out of those seats. Oh, the day of... Hey, we claim we're Pentecostal, but I'm not sure we are.
Come on.
Because if one or two get the Holy Ghost, we're ready to close church down. But the Pentecostal pattern is they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Not two or three, not three or four. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You may be seated. I told you I was raised around alcoholism. I know something about drunks. And I've got Brother Brent Barnhill is here tonight, and he's the captain of the fire department in Raleigh. And he goes out and sees all kind of stuff and works a lot with drunks. The first indication, the first place it shows up, if a man is drunk, is in his tongue and in his toes. It touches the extremities of the body. He can't walk right, and he can't talk right. They used to get them out of the car and have that white line as they walked that line. pastor said, walk that line. He said, I can't. I'm drunk. The first place it shows is in your walk and in your talk. The Bible said they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. How long has it been since you talked in tongues? How long has it been since you talked in tongues? But your neighbor said, you probably need another drink. You probably need another drink. Now, you may be seated, but I'm going to come to you tonight. I'm going to come after you tonight. You ain't going to sit there in Joel's bar with your arms crossed and claim the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because I want to tell you something. Folks that have got it, you hear me? Folks that have got it always want more. If you don't want more, you probably ain't got it. You can sit here like a funeral director when the presence of God is in the house. You need to go back to Joel's place and take another drink. They try to talk right. You may be seeing it, but it just don't come out.
It don't come out right.
They try to walk the way they've been walking, but they just can't walk that way anymore. Because they are loaded. They are soused. They are intoxicated. They are inebriated. They are under the influence of the Holy Ghost. North Carolina, from the mountains to the coast, needs a Holy Ghost church that's under the influence of the power of God. So put your neighbor and say, take another drink. Revival's not going to come when we pray 100 new converts through. Revival's going to come when the church gets the Holy Ghost. Nobody's exempted. Nobody's beyond it. David danced before the Lord with all of his might when he was the king of Israel. From the platform to the door, from the sound booth down to the ushers. We don't need ushers to line the wall of our church like funeral directors. We need Holy Ghost firebrands. Punch your neighbor and say, take another drink. You may be seated. Let me tell you what I've learned about drunks. Drunks are never far from a binge. They are never far from a binge. Oddly enough, good times make them drink. They want to celebrate. They get a raise on the job. They say, let's go get a cold one. Their team wins. They say, let's go get a cold one. They celebrate in good times. And then in bad times, it makes them drink because they want to escape. So whether it's good or bad, a drunk wants another drink. So I don't care how good it is with you tonight. You still need another drink. And I don't care how bad it is with you tonight. You still need another drink. So punch your neighbor and say, take another drink. Oh, you'll get drunk if you keep drinking. You will get drunk if you keep drinking. You will get drunk if you keep drinking. We don't need to run in here and get a little sip. We need to become teetotalers. You may see. Or just stand there. It don't matter. You can't control drunks. If you are a drunk for the devil, you ain't going to be saved if you're not a drunk for God. Don't be a party animal for the devil and come to church and say, isn't that sweet? Holy Ghost blowing all over the place and you're giving a good Baptist. Oh, yes. Bless him, Jesus. Let me make a few more points here. Do what you want to do. Sit down, stand up, stand on your head, run the aisles. It don't matter. It's last night. This is it. You better get full of the Holy Ghost. A hurricane may blow you away from here. Our world needs a radical church. Our world needs a wild church. Our world needs a drug church. Our world needs a Holy Ghost control church. Observe this about drunks. Drunks are given to extreme mood swings.
This brother's got a party hat on down here.
Let me tell you what I've noticed about drunks. My maternal grandfather was given to booze also. But he was totally different than my dad. My grandpa, you could always tell when he was drunk, because he'd come, I love you. He never told me he loved me unless he was soused. I love you. You know, I love you, man. Or he'd be out on the front porch with his guitar and a mandolin thing. I mean, a harmonica strap around his neck and come out there and held his harmonica so he could play his guitar and play the harmonica at the same time. And whenever you saw Papa Wick sitting on the front porch playing the guitar and blowing the harmonica, you knew he was loaded. But here's what's funny. He'd be out there playing, I come to the garden. Drunk as a skunk. Some drunks cry. Some drunks fight. But none of them just sit there. So if you see somebody just sitting there, you say, you need another drink. Take another drink. Take another drink. Take another drink. You either need to cry, sing, or fight the devil. But don't just sit there. Kitakaya. Ishamahaya Bahaya. I pray the Holy Ghost would hit this place tonight. Every man here would go home drunk on the Holy Ghost. Story. this man was sitting at the table by himself, soused, loaded, knocked his bottle off the table. It broke. That liquid devil started flowing all over the floor. And a mouse came running out of his hole. And licked up some of that stuff. And he stood up on his back legs and said, "Where's that cat?" Woo! You may have come here running from the devil. You may have come here hiding from the devil. Take another drink and you'll stand up and say, "Where is that devil? Where is that devil? He's not going to destroy my church. He's not going to destroy my family. He's not going to destroy my marriage." Take another drink. Watch your neighbor say, "Take another drink. Take another drink." He cut up my shot up my The Holy Ghost wants to fill us up. $150 on Geico. But I got good news for you. If you'll get drunk on the Holy Ghost, there ain't a devil in this world that can defeat you. There ain't a problem in this world you can't overcome. There ain't a situation in this world you can't get victory over. Touch your neighbor, say, "Take another drink." Never say, "You drunk yet?" That's why people drink. They don't drink to be social. They drink to get drunk. They get so drunk they don't have feelings. No, my own coat. This fellow was in a bar. And he'd take a drink and open his coat. Take a drink. Open his coat. Take a drink. Open his coat. The bartender said, "Sir, I serve all kind of people in here. They do all kind of stuff." He said, "But this is about the weirdest I've ever seen." He said, "You take a drink and you look in your coat. Take a drink and look in your coat." He said, "What in the world's going on with you?" He said, "Sir, I'm married to the ugliest woman in the world. And," he said, "I've got her picture stuck to the inside of my coat." And he said, "I drink until she's pretty. And then I know it's time to go home." I want to tell you, men, If you'll drink enough, the ugly stuff will get pretty. Holiness will get pretty. Paying tithes will get pretty. Dancing in the spirit will get pretty. Prayer meeting will get pretty. Revival will get pretty. Fasting will get pretty. Support missionaries will get pretty. If you'll just keep drinking, the ugly things will become pretty. You know what? There is only one way to endure a drunk. They are so obnoxious. They are so loud. They are always in your face. When I was a kid, my daddy made me sit down, and he'd talk to me by the hours. And he's always going like that. So if you want to make me mad, punch me in my chest. I'll probably break your finger. I got all that I want. You hear me? This, you hear what I'm saying? It'll make a bit of sense. They're so obnoxious. They're laughing out loud. They're rubbing that old beer breath all over you. They're all against you. There ain't but one way to endure a drunk. And that's get drunk yourself. Let me preach to you right now. If you got folks in your church that get on your nerves because they shout so much, the problem is you're on a hangover and they're still drunk. And the reason you want them to sit down and shut up is so you won't look so bad. It's time to get back to when folks visit our church in the Holy Ghost. They can't tell the seasoned saint from the new convert. Because everybody's high on the Holy Ghost. Everybody's dancing in the Spirit. Come on, everybody. It's time to go back to Joel's place. Get you another drink. Turn around to somebody and say, come on, drink with me tonight. Come on, drink with me tonight. Because I'm going to tell you, I only drink with somebody or by myself. If I got to drink by myself. Drunks
will do anything and give anything to get a drink.
Woo! Ain't nothing valuable if it's between them and a drink. They'd rather have a drink than to pay their bills.
That's right.
They'd rather have a drink than to buy something good for their kids. And I've worked in the public, and I've heard them on Friday when they push out T-E-G-I-F. I gotta go get drunk. But here we are. Come on to revival. Give me a little resistance. Not a whole lot. Come on to prayer meeting. Come on to revival. They don't have to be drugged to a bar. And they don't have to have a pastor that's a cheerleader. I'm going to confess a little fear here tonight. I'm afraid if we're not careful in the apostolic church, I'm a little tipsy here. Wow!
Don't hurt yourself, brother.
Said his drunk was walking. Let me try this again. His drunk was walking down the sidewalk, down the street. He had one foot in the street and one on the curb. And this guy come up to him and said, "My Lord, man, are you drunk?" He said, "Is that what's wrong with me? I thought I had polio." Nobody has to make them go get drunk. As a matter of fact, nobody can stop them. Their beautiful little wives will stand in the door and say, "Honey, please don't go get drunk. Baby, please don't go get drunk." The little kids will grab hold of the pant leg and say, "Daddy, please don't go get drunk." But they shake the wife off and they shake the kids off. They don't let anything stop them. They're going to go get drunk. And some of you men refuse to be apostolic because your wife don't like this church. But she couldn't keep you out of the bar. Don't let her keep you out of the church. She couldn't keep you from Budweiser. Don't let her keep you from the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Touch your neighbor and say, "Take another drink." Turn around and never say, "You're almost there." A couple more to do it. These men are not drunken as ye suppose, but it's the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you. Come on, somebody, you're almost there. Take another drink. Take another drink. Take another drink. As long as you're in control, you're not drunk. As long as you're in control, you're not drunk. But when you get drunk, the Holy Ghost is going to take over. You went home and you wanted to say, hey, baby, I'm glad to see you. But when you opened your mouth, how about when your kids say, hey, daddy, it's good to see you. One last point, and we're going to open the bar, and the drinks are on the house. Untie that shoe for me. It's double knotted, so it wouldn't come loose while I was preaching. Bless my brother while he washes my feet. Said which one? Drugs? Don't care how they look. Drugs don't care how they look. You don't embarrass a drunk. He ain't worried about it. He ain't going to try to impress you. He don't care if his clothes don't match. He don't care if his shoes don't match. He don't care if his shirt tails out. He don't care if his hair's messed up. The bar is open. Happy hour.
Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice.